Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome to Party Friday. I think this is the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. This is Mark Poff, your guest host for the day. I believe Chuck and Julie are hanging out with Steve Banyan today, if I heard right on what it is they're doing. Big weekend coming up. So they're having fun, I hope. I hope everything goes well this weekend for them. So I'm going to be guest hosting today. And John, my buddy, he can't make it. I have to tell you, John and I are both retired investigators with the El Paso County Sheriff's Office down in Colorado Springs. Worked on a lot of homicides together. And John and I are more busy now than we've ever been. Last week, I flew up to Anchorage for 2 days. Nobody flies to Anchorage for 2 days, especially this time of year. But I went up there to sit advisory in federal court and to testify last Friday. Would have been about this time last Friday that I testified on a big case out of Juneau, even though the hearing was in Anchorage. John is extraordinarily busy with his cases as well. So he unfortunately had some meetings going on today. And so he can't make it, which is unfortunate. So I'm going to try to not be so much into the stuff that John and I usually talk about. Actually, I always joke that when Chuck and Julie take the day off, something happens. So I want people to call in. I want people to interject. If you want to just speak up, if you're in Zoom, that's fine with me. I don't care. If you want to call in, it's 888-627-6008. They'll bring you right in. I'm going to try to get people to talk, but I don't know how many people are actually live with us, on a Friday. A lot of people listen to the podcast later. But what I want to talk about in a few minutes is actually something I saw yesterday on Fox News, which was an interview of Elon Musk and some of the Doge management team by Bret Baier. Now, I admit I watch Fox News with Bret Baier almost every day at 4 o'clock Colorado time. And it's kind of one of those things I sit down when I'm kind of chilling after the end of the day and stuff. And yesterday really kind of threw me a curveball. I found it very interesting. That interview was amazing. So I want to talk about that in a little bit because sometimes people join a little bit later. So I want to talk about some other things first, but then I'm going to focus in on this interview yesterday with Elon Musk and Doge. One of the things that kind of interests me, because I am a retired detective, I am a consultant, an expert. I testify all the time in both district court here in Colorado. I've testified in other states. I've testified in federal court. So I've seen a lot of different judges. I've actually become friends with judges. I've gone into their chambers and hung out with them before. I've actually had lunch with judges. I've had breakfast with judges. And, I find them just average, everyday people. And I've never really had issues with judges. They typically, from what I've seen for the most part, judges try to do a good job. They try to stick to the law, the Constitution, and they try to do their best rulings that they can. And they don't like to be overturned because, that kind of shows that, hey, you screwed things up as a judge. But what I'm finding now, and it's probably not a good thing for me to actually be calling out some judges. Hopefully I'll never be in their courtroom and they'll never know that I said things. But it appears more and more that judges are becoming advocates or they're fighting for a cause, and that's not how it's supposed to work. Typically on local criminal cases, it just doesn't matter. I will tell you that all the lawyers, both prosecutors and defense attorneys, they know every judge and their ideology and their background. They'll call certain judges hanging judges and others very easy judges. And they will actually tell clients. I've been present when defense attorneys have told clients, you really got a lucky draw with this judge, or you did not get a good draw with this judge. You got a judge that's going to be very hard on you based on the type of crime that you've been accused of. And they all know this. They all know how tough the judges are going to be on experts. I was actually told ahead of time on a case where I testified down in Tucson, Arizona, that the judge would basically come after me because he considers me somewhat of a traitor because I used to work for law enforcement and now I'm testifying for the defense in a homicide case. And so I was just like, well, I just don't see that happening. But sure enough, the judge was so easy on all of the people testifying for the prosecution. And then when I slipped up once, he went crazy. And I just was looking at him. It's like, dude, you need to chill, you know? Settle down, you know? And so judges can be like that, especially when you have elected judges. We really don't even have elected judges here in Colorado. The system's kind of rigged, if you want to call it that, in Colorado. The governor gets to pick. Well, we now are pretty much in Colorado. We used to be a purple state, but that's you know, we're pretty dang blue now. So it's rare to get good conservative judges on the bench. So a lot of the judges now that are being appointed by the governor are somewhat liberal. Great for defense attorneys, not so much for prosecutors. So depending on which team you're on, I traditionally or now I'm working more for the defense attorneys, so I kind of like it. But from my own personal view, I kind of like conservative judges, you know, that toe the line. But in Arizona, they were all elected. So they actually have to, you know, people can run against judges. And you've probably heard about the election in Wisconsin that's going on right now. So that brings a whole different avenue that a judge knows if he wants to keep his job or her job, he needs to kind of go in favor of the community that, you know, that they're being elected in. So they'll even allow to make a, they'll even make a bad ruling, a bad legal ruling, knowing that it will help them get reelected. And then they know there's a good chance it's going to get overturned on an appeal, but who cares? That's for someone else to worry about. So when you get into those courtrooms where all the judges are elected locally, that can be a bad place because it's like, look, we know we made our point. We know how you need to rule. And then they don't for one reason or another. And then you're like, well, okay, now the client's going to sit in prison or jail for another year or two until we can go to an appellate court and they're going to fix it. And so that's problematic. So judges really need to be neutral and they sure as hell need to stay out of politics. I will tell you back when I was a detective, we did a thing called judge shopping, and that was a thing that we were told not to do. And so we tried to be very careful. There were certain judges that we just didn't want to deal with when we wanted to get search warrants signed. Some were just a pain in the butt. Some didn't want to do their job. They felt that actually signing search warrants or arrest warrants, that was below them, you know, as a judge. So they were just jerks when you went into their chambers and they're like, man, I don't want to go to that judge, man. He's just a pain in the butt. And some would always just be brutal. So some cops wanted to find certain judges that they knew were lenient, you know, that would just, hey, oh, you got a warrant here. Let me scan through that in 2 minutes and I'll sign it. I typically had a few judges that I liked that were still tough because to me, as a detective, I want them to be tough because I want my warrants to stand. I never had a search warrant or arrest warrant ever overruled or had any issues with them because I didn't go to the easy judges. I went to the ones that I thought were fairly tough that I liked anyway. But they always told us, knock it off with the judge shopping. You got to go who's on the list. So, an interesting point here that just happened in federal court, I think in the DC area, is Donald Trump got a bad draw. It's not a bad draw. Let's just be real about this. They got their judge that they wanted to rule against Donald Trump. They got their judge. The way it works in Colorado, or at least here in El Paso County, where I used to work, is whenever you went in to get a judge or got a case to be issued to a judge, it was luck of the draw. They had a file cabinet, and they're usually numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, which division of the court. So when you open that drawer, and this is a clerk This is not the judge. This has nothing to do with the judge. They open that file drawer where all these folders that are 1 through 12, let's say, whatever number they happen to be on, they'd pull that folder out and they would say, okay, here's your motion, or here, you know, you need a judge. You're getting a division three, whoever that judge happens to be. So if you have 12 or 15 different divisions in a federal court, or the court here, that's how they randomized it. That's how they made sure that all the judges did the same workload. And you got away from this judge shopping kind of crap. Well, they just said that on this other thing, on the texting thing, that somebody's filing something, that he got the same judge in the DC District Court. What's the odds? Let's be real. They're judge shopping. They're going in there in that file cabinet or however they do it in DC, and they're saying, let's give them the same judge. The odds of that happening is, I mean, it's not astronomical, but depending on how many divisions there are, that's your one in however many of him getting the same draw. And it's obvious to me that this judge has, if you want to call it a bias or whatever, but, and even today, they issued another stay until like October sometime. And so I'm very confused about how one district judge can shut down an entire government on immigration, which is a foreign policy issue. So that needs to be worked out. I'm waiting to see if the judge issues a restraining order or something saying, I want you to bring all those gang members back to the United States. I mean, I could see them being that much of an ideology of like, you know, and then they argue it's about the process and things like that. But understand, it's apparent to me, someone who's worked with judges a lot during my career, that judges have changed a little bit, and they're not even pretending to try to be neutral anymore. So I am confused. I'm also confused about, I think it's great what Trump's doing and going in and trying to fix some of these major issues. And so how can a judge rule that you can't fire a probationary employee, but it's about the process? Well, it's not about the process. If you're a probationary employee, I mean, that's how that works. If you're on probation for 6 months to a year, then if someone comes in and says, look, you know, we have to cut, then so much we have to cut. And you know, business understands this. This is probably one of the biggest differences between government and business. So I was in business before I went into law enforcement. Worked for a company called MCI. You probably knew who it was, a phone company. It was a pretty large company until things just went crazy. Ultimately, what was left of MCI WorldCom was purchased by Verizon Business, part of Verizon. And so it's all part of Verizon now. I was actually a manager with MCI here in Colorado. I was chosen or selected or asked to open an office in St. Louis. And I agreed. And you're probably like, oh, dude, why would you do that? Why would you move to St. Louis? Well, the deal was, is I didn't have to move. This was, even back then, this has been a while ago, probably 20 some years ago. Even back then, we could do things remotely. So I only had to be in St. Louis for 1 or 2 weeks a month. But they flew me to St. Louis to open the office. We opened it up, got everything, you know, didn't really, we're working on getting it open. We started interviewing people. And then I remember that in between interviews, I got a phone call from my boss and he said, shut it down. And I'm like, what do you mean shut it down? I've got all these interviews set up. You know, we're hiring people for the MCI WorldCom office here in St. Louis. And he goes, they just made a big decision. They're not opening St. Louis. So anyone that, you know, if you've tendered an offer to anyone, you got to retract it, shut everything down. We're not hiring anybody. And I remember telling him, look, there's one guy that I interviewed that was amazing. Will you allow me to ask him if he's willing to relocate to Colorado Springs? I think we should bring this guy, you know, back. I think he'd be great. And he said, you know what? If you think he's that good, do it. See if he'll relocate to Colorado Springs, but don't tender any offers. That's how fast business works. So you shut everything down. You're like, hey, new direction. We're not doing this. So Elon Musk is used to that as being a boss. He's used to saying, like when he bought Twitter, he laid off or fired 80% of the staff, and he said, "How amazing! It impacted nothing, it changed nothing, and X or Twitter is still running fine." So the key is what's really freaking a lot of people out is Elon Musk, part of Doge. He's moving at the speed of business, and everybody who's on his team, they're moving at the speed of business. Government can't even fathom this. They can't even. So all these other individuals are just freaking out. And Elon knows how to save money, get rid of people. Personnel is typically your number one cost is personnel. It's almost double whatever you pay him. If you're paying him 80 grand, you're probably paying another 80 grand in benefits and everything else. So he knows how to save money, and in government, they don't understand the whole concept. So I saw this interview yesterday, and I guess I didn't see the whole thing, but I would tell you normally, a lot of times, like, well, I'll just wait for the news after that and see the highlights. Forget that. Go out to Fox News website. I think it's still out there. Watch the whole interview. And if you have to go out to Fox Nation or wherever you have to go, go watch the entire interview with Elon Musk, with Bret Baier. And I think there's like 7 or 8 members of the Doge team. It is amazing. If you watch this interview, you will get what their motivation is and what they've found. And it just lays it all out. And one of the first questions was, and I'll kind of go through the highlights here, but you got to watch the whole thing. It's amazing. Is he asked Elon Musk, what was your biggest surprise in going into this? He goes, the amount of fraud. And I'm like, well, you should have known there was tons of fraud. It's government. And Elon was, it's just overwhelming. That nonchalantly, no big deal, $1 billion wastes of money is like no big deal. And then they brought up this $800 million 10 question survey that was for nothing. It was an online survey. They paid $800 million or were about to pay $800 million for 10 questions that some kid in high school could have come up with for $100. And that's the kind of waste that they were doing. So it's just amazing. So some of the things that interest me was, is I heard pretty quick when Doge was getting started that they wanted to shut down the Social Security. I can't believe I can't. I'm just a couple years away. They wanted to shut down this call-in line for Social Security. So if people wanted to change their direct deposit, they were going to have to come into the office. And I'm like, well, why would you do that? I mean, we're into simplicity. We're into going online, and you should be able to do that online. Well, during this interview, they explained that 40% of the people who call in to change their direct deposit is fraudulent. So then when it happens that they change to this other direct deposit, guess what? The recipient would stop getting their monthly check, and then they'd have to call and say, hey, what's going on? I'm not getting my monthly check. And they're like, oh, no, you changed it to this other. No, I did not. That was fraudulent. So 40% of the calls were fraudulent. Well, if you want to shut down that fraud, what do? You shut down the phone line, make them come in. Now, I get that, they're now trying to work out a medium between the two, but they're not trying to stop or get rid of benefits or anything like that. They're trying to cut out the fraud. And when you watch this interview, again, it's just amazing how they go through this, and they explain all kinds of things. Like they said, I had to write this stuff down. 15 million people in Social Security, 15 million people are over the age of a 120, and they're marked as alive in the database. 15 million people have made it to 120 years old. We know that's not true. It can't happen. So why can't Social Security, when you hit 90 or 100, that you have to have a proof of you're still alive? Now, make it somewhat simple. I mean, you don't, you're obviously not going to, if this person's 100, they may not be able to come into the office. Maybe you send someone out to check on them, or they have to do something. On a lot of times on these websites, you have to click a little box saying, I'm not a robot. Do something to make sure that we're not doing stupid stuff. And then the Small Business Administration was handing out loans to people, what was that? Over 130, and they had one loan they gave out to an individual that was 9 months old. Now, we know these are all fraud, but how can they, this would never happen in a company, in a private company. Elon Musk, as a CEO of a company, would never allow his company to be schnookered like that and be handing out loans if his business was handing out loans to somebody that's 130 years old. They would have a system in place to ensure that these people actually exist. Why is the federal government handing out small business loans to people they've never met that they can't prove that they are who they are? And then when you actually check, you find out they're 9 months old. I think that's somebody that's getting way out early in their commercial enterprise. But this is the kind of stuff that they're trying to shut down. They explain that there's no verification for the US Treasury Department. So you have one big account for the United States of America, one big checking account. Then other agencies will say, cut a check here, cut a check here. And the Treasury Department is doing absolutely no verification and just cutting the checks. That's insane. No private company would ever do that. So you got to see this whole interview. And I think they should force Democrats or liberals to watch this. And I think they would just, because they're such drones, they're such sheep. They look at, well, they're just, Elon's lying. He's just lying. So why is it that, like, right now, well, one last thing before I move on. They also found that there's 4.6 million credit cards that go against the US government. 4.6 million credit cards. There's only 2.4 million employees of the US government. Do you think there's a chance that there's fraud there? Very inefficient, which we would imagine. And I would tell you one of their big things is their computer systems. Now, before I became a cop, before I even worked for MCI, I was a government contractor and helped write code for government projects. One of the things that I'll tell you is, government computer systems are so slow to be developed. By the time that they're developed, they're obsolete. And I worked on a system up in Cheyenne Mountain for missile defense and all kinds of stuff. By the time we finally, after all the delays and everything that happened, by the time we got that system in Cheyenne Mountain, it was already obsolete and needed to be replaced. Government doesn't move at the speed of business. So you need someone like business. They said that there's 700 different computer systems that don't interact with each other. Wow, not a very good company, not run very well. So don't you think someone like Elon Musk, who definitely has experience in running large corporations and others that part of Doge, that they could step in, and they're willing to do this out of civic duty to help make the US government more efficient and coming up with systems that can interact. And so when you see this whole interview, you'll see that they're actually trying to make things better. They're not trying to gut the government. But that's not what the Democrats are saying and these crazy liberals. They're trying to convince everyone that they're destroying the government. They're not destroying the government. They are most likely saving the government from ourselves. So how can liberals be against stopping waste? Why is that? Because they're part of the problem. They're the ones that are in the middle of all this stuff. Why would they be battling to shut down Doge and Elon Musk? Why are they trying to? I mean, they are just really going crazy to stop this. I think it's pretty simple as to the reason why they're all out there going berserk is because they're afraid they're going to be successful. They're exposing all the people. And I think it was Elon Musk that said, who are the people that complain most about when you detect fraud? It's the fraudsters. So you have all these Democrats that are out here screaming, saying, stop, 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 stop. It's because they're the fraudsters. They're the ones that they know got these stupid programs, like the one, oh, can't remember her name, that got like $2 billion from Joe Biden, the one who ran for mayor of Atlanta, or no, or no, the governor of Georgia. I mean, they're frauding the government. These people are not good people, and that's why they're arguing the process. Oh, I'm not arguing. I'm not saying that I'm not against getting rid of fraud. I'm all for detecting fraud and taking care of it and cutting it out of this, but it's the process. You shouldn't be doing it this way. We have a very structured way that we do that through Congress. Well, let's get a clue here. Congress can't do anything right. I mean, they have one of the things they've proven is they are as dysfunctional as the worst family on the planet. Congress is broken. They're not going to solve anything. They're not going to work together to come up with any great idea on how to fix this. They're going to go in there, and this is Republicans and Democrats. This is both. I'm not going to just put this on Democrats. Once they become elected, they get in the system, they see how the system works, and then it's their job to stay in power for as long as possible to milk the system to become rich. I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi, and you can look at others that have become. AOC is a great example where she's become rich because she's in the system, and they pay for influence, and they pay for the, to be able to talk to you about their little pet projects, and all of a sudden you get money to them, and all of a sudden you'll get a $1 billion deal, even though you couldn't even win governor of Georgia. So we need to understand that. Congress isn't going to fix this. It's going to take someone who finally steps in and says, we're going to do this. And it appears that Trump and his cabinet are all committed to fixing the system. You have to almost destroy the foundation of how this works and set up a new foundation. The foundation of our government was set up in the 1700s. Obviously, having one checking account for the entire federal government, for the US Treasury to pay bills, is insane. Why don't you have one for each agency and then have one person's job to make sure that every entry, if you have one checking account, I have a small company, small consulting firm, have two or three people that we work in this company, and I take care of the finances and I do the invoicing, I do the billing, I do all kinds of stuff. I can track our accounts because it's so small. So one person can deal with this company. Do you think there's any way you could track or understand every disbursement of funds by the Treasury Department? There's no way. The ability to fraud or to steal money with such a large system is easy, and they'll never catch you. It's like, what's the odds? It's like being audited by the IRS, knock on wood. A lot of people live in this whole theory of, they've only got 20, 30,000 auditors. We got 320 million people. So the odds of them ever getting to me is very low. So what incentive is there to be honest? Well, I don't know, maybe between you and God, to be honest and have integrity. And most people will do that. If you have systems where people donate money, I've seen where they have trailer parks where it's just like you come in and there's nobody there. And it's like, hey, put $20 in this drop box, take a lot, and 99% of the time people are honest and they'll do that, but you always have that 1%. So they're so scared of Doge because they know where this is going. They know where it's heading. And they're afraid. And that's one of the things. I think this is actually, I may skip, I'll skip this part for later. But the reason they're afraid is because, again, they're going to be exposed. This is one thing that I've learned about lawyers. And I've had to deal with a lot of lawyers. I've been on the stand a lot of times. And normally, when I'm on the stand as an expert, I'm going to have one lawyer that's my friend. This is the person who retained me, hired me, and is asking me to testify for their client. Then the other side, whether it's a civil case, a criminal case, or whatever, the other side's going to have an attorney who doesn't like my testimony, doesn't like me, and doesn't like what I have to say. So I've run across this both when I used to testify for the prosecution, now that I testify for the defense. I've seen it on both sides. They both act the same way. Back when I was a state witness, when I was a detective, the prosecutor was my friend. The defense attorney came after me like a vulture. Now those roles have reversed. I've seen it both ways, and they both do it. So one of the things I've learned is that when lawyers start yelling, they've got nothing. They've got nothing. They're trying to yell for effect for the jury. That's what the Democrat Party is doing right now. They're yelling for effect for the jury. Well, who's the jury? It's the American people. They have nothing. I've had people criticize my website and ask me all kinds of stupid questions and start yelling at me over things that it's like, your point's stupid. You know, and then normally I just calmly explain, your question's stupid. So whenever I hear lawyers yell, I don't even worry about it. I'm just sitting there on the stand and I'm like, finish your dumbass question and I'll answer it. And then we'll be done with your stupid yelling. What are the Democrat politicians doing right now? They're yelling and they're using profanity for effect. Well, let me tell you, if every other word you use is an F-bomb, nobody cares. No one will remember, and it's not going to make any difference. And right now, they were saying, like, a memo was sent saying, use all the profanity you can. You're not going to garnish any support by using a bunch of profanity. Americans don't like it. I cuss like a sailor, but I don't do it in public that much, and I sure as hell wouldn't do it on the witness stand. So, I mean, that's just how it works. So now you have all these politicians, mainly on the Democrat side, using F-bombs left and right. Well, if you ask someone, if you ask me, when's the last time you heard your dad use an F-bomb? I'd say, I only heard him use it one time in my entire life. And I could remember exactly when he used that F-bomb one time. And he was amazingly upset over something that my brother did, very justifiably. But if my dad was such a nature that he used an F-bomb left and right, would I remember when he's dropping F-bombs? No. So when you have all these Democrats yelling profanity and saying these very viral things about, that Cruz needs to be hit over the head and hit hard, this Crockett individual who's a freaking moron. And then she talks about, for my birthday, I want you to take out Elon Musk. This is dangerous talk. And we know that these dumbass Democrat followers are just that. They're followers, they're not leaders. We know that they will follow what they say. We know this. We've seen it in Las Vegas, where they torched almost a whole dealership because they're a bunch of sheep and freaking drones. So when they say this stuff, they're like, oh, I'm not being literal. I'm just, blah, blah, blah. They know that they have a lot of people with a lot of issues that will follow what they have to say. And so it's dangerous. It is very dangerous what they're doing. So we need to be cautious. I've said a lot. I don't know if there's anybody who wants to chime in about anything that I've said up to this point. I think we're good. One of the things. Oh,
Guy, yeah,
yes.
this is Johnny. I watched that video last night. I thought it was a replay, but I said, then I found out it was real, and then I shared it. And then I have a friend who's 76 years old, and she was irate. And then another lady had said, well, watch the video, because the lady was saying, well, he's firing all these people. And the lady has to say calmly, watch the video. And then I have to remind her that in 1998, Bill Clinton, he cleaned house. He also got a lot of, like, the what was it called, the illegals off of welfare. And I don't remember in 1998 anybody crying over it.
That is correct. That is a great point that you bring up, is that Bill Clinton did do that. And nobody likes big layoffs, but I think we've proven that the government's inefficient. And so sometimes, I worked for MCI, we did layoffs like twice a year. It's a nature of the beast, but nobody complained. But now they're going crazy. So tell me what you thought about the whole interview. What was your overall thought?
Well, I like some of the things you were pointing out about I'm on Social Security. I'm 65 now, right? So I didn't know. I thought I called up, and if I wanted to get my direct deposit, they asked me the questions that only I would know, and I just assumed that that was their way of knowing who was doing this. And so I was quite surprised that was going on, and they didn't want to do nothing about it. And then they said, like, the paperwork, 1956, what did they call it, with all these file cabinets of paperwork.
Oh, you're
It,
talking about the cave, the big cave
yes,
in Pennsylvania.
and I, and here this technology has been here for a while, and it's only taken until now before they thought, well, maybe there might be a better way. And then it seemed like the people that said that they could do it were just milking them for money. And then they got their money and they said, oh, we can't do anything about it.
And the
And
government doesn't follow through to try to get the money back or
yeah.
put these people in jail for fraud.
But a similar thing happened. I used to, and I still sometimes do, I was a DJ for a club. And then I got this government agency involved, and they said, well, we're going to get you a computer, get you hooked up with the latest. And the guy kept working, and he kept coming because he was getting paid, and the system never got fixed. And I said, just let me go back to records, CDs, tapes, because what he was doing was just collecting money and pretending like he was working. And
Correct.
it just seemed like that government jobs is just full of people like that.
Correct. And that's what they're trying to fix. And that's really the sense that I got from that interview last night. And did you get the sense that these people are really patriots that are trying to do the right thing by the US people?
Yeah, and they're smart enough to know that tech stuff, and they, instead of wanting to cheat the government, they want to help fix it. What anomaly! It's like, and that seems to be strange to the ones that they're giving the. I like what Musk says. He says we have to go after the people who are saying the propaganda.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. You have this guy who firebombed the Tesla dealership in Vegas, but what about the people that got him to do it?
Yes. So, they always have followers that, well, always have those people that want that attention, even though they're going to go to jail for a long time. They want that attention. And they're just strange people like that. And especially if you're a guy pretending to be a woman, like the one up in Loveland,
Right.
they're just looking for that attention. But yeah, that's all I wanted to tell you, because I mean, when I watched it, I said, I got to watch this again. And then I'm looking at the comments on my Facebook, and it's like, we're trying to gently explain to these people they're lying. These Democrats are lying. So, we
Well,
just,
exactly. And they're concerned that this is actually going to work.
yes.
So,
But I appreciate it. Talk to you
oh, you
guys later.
bet. Have a great day. And actually, you just reminded me of something. So I'll tell that if you want to. Yeah, there we go. So, one of the things when I was on a school board, they always told me whenever we tried to make a change in the school district, there's always the people in the administration. So these are the, I don't want to say bureaucrats, but that's what they are in the administration of the school district, where they tell me I was the school board president. They'd always say, well, wait a minute, you can't do too much too fast because you got to take the train slow enough that people can get on board to support what you're doing. And I always thought, well, that's a great analogy is, yeah, let's not try to do too much too fast because we want all of the community to get on board. Well, I think in this situation with Elon Musk, Doge, and President Trump, is they know they only have a limited amount of time. So they're going to ram this thing like one of those high speed, trains. And then at the end, when that train stops, we're going to be in a beautiful place. And then it's going to be like, okay, I know maybe the ride was a little bumpy. I get that maybe you didn't understand how this train was moving, but look where we are today. That's what I'm kind of hoping. Is Doge affecting me? Is all this stuff the tariffs maybe? But I do wish that Trump would focus a little bit more on not the price of eggs, but I think he understands about the economy. I think he understands when we get to this end game. So I want to get there as quickly as, so what he's doing, I just thought of this, hopefully this will work. He's saying it's much better to rip off the Band-Aid quick than to do it slow. So let's rip that Band-Aid off. And yes, there's going to be some pain for a little bit. But after you see the results and you're like, yeah, that was probably better than tearing that Band-Aid off slowly. But I'm telling you, all of these left liberal Democrats, they do not want DOGE to be successful. They do not want the government to be efficient. They do not want us to deport all of these illegal aliens. They want America to be dependent on the government for everything that they can. Why do you think California wants electric cars? It's not because of the environment. I mean, that's all been called out ever since this whole thing with DOGE and Elon Musk. They don't give a crap about electric cars. This is about control and power. That's what this is all about. And now that Elon's no longer their hero, you know, they're going to turn on him because he's exposing them for what they are. And he's not exposing them. He's exposing the system, which will ultimately expose them. Did any conservative, when Elon Musk was the hero of the liberals with these electric cars and SpaceX and all this other stuff, did the conservatives care? Did anyone say, you know, hey, I want my gas guzzling Suburban and by God, we need to blow up every Tesla we see? Nobody cared. There were some conservatives buying Tesla. I know what my view was back then. If you want a Tesla, go buy a Tesla. They're awesome. I got to drive one, a Model S. It is an awesome vehicle. And I own a Corvette. And I'm telling you, you know, Teslas are awesome vehicles. And I have a feeling that most Teslas could beat my Corvette in a quarter mile or a half mile run. I mean, they are fun to drive. It is cool with the whole electric and all the stuff that it does. But I like my old power car Corvette that I have, and it's fun for me. So I tell people, you want a Tesla? Now, I would tell you, my advice is get a plug-in hybrid. If you really want to think that you can help whatever, the plug-in one, if you're driving just locally, that's great. You can go all electric and then have solar panels on your roof, which are not cost-effective. But whatever, if you want them, a lot of things I've purchased are not cost-effective. But if you want an electric car, you want solar panels on your roof or a big battery pack in your garage, then go flip and get it. Conservatives didn't care. They're not going after Teslas because it stood for all the evil against fossil fuels. Nobody cared. Well, now all of a sudden, because Elon Musk, the CEO, who cares about the CEO? Because he's doing things that they're being told by the leadership of the Democrat Party is evil, bad, and just insane. You're going to get some people with mental illness that are followers, sheeps, and drones that are going to go do your dirty work. And it's not going to do it. It's not going to change anything. Go blow up a few Teslas. You're going to spend 20 years in prison. And whoever indoctrinated you into believing that Doge and Elon Musk was the evil of all the world is going to sit back and laugh that you're a dumbass drone and I got you to do this. You know, it reminds me of Conan the Barbarian. If you ever saw the original movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, remember when the bad guy got a person to fly off or jump off of a cliff to her death. And he goes, that's real power. That's power. And I agree completely. You know, you can have money, you can have all kinds of other things, but if you can get people to jump off a cliff for you because they're radicalized and believe everything you say, that's real power. And that's what the Democrats are doing. They're getting these people to jump off cliffs. They're ruining their lives. And they don't care. They just think that it's funny. But right now, they are petrified that Elon Musk is going to expose them for what they are, and that has them scared. That's why, again, just like I was saying with these lawyers, that's why they're yelling and using all this profanity. They are, I mean, they're scared that it's going to happen, you know, that this is all going to work out, and people are going to say, these Democrats have been lying to us for years. They don't care about us. And some people are getting a clue, which is why Donald Trump won the popular vote. People are getting a clue. And now they have no power. And so they get these radical, and what they, what I always say is, in any situation, whenever you have a vacuum, something has to come in to fill that vacuum. And there is a huge vacuum in the Democrat Party right now. And so you have this vacuum, which is going to suck in people to fill that vacuum. And guess who it is? AOC. And then this idiot Crockett from Texas, she says the stupidest things, you know, hey, sneaking in or to our crossing our borders illegally is not a crime. Well, yeah, it is. You're just stupid. And stupid is as stupid does. And so if they're going to fill their void with people like that, they're going to be in worse shape, especially if Donald Trump is given enough time. If these judges just lay off, these radical judges, allow him to do what it is that he wants to do in 4 years, they know, like they say, that the game's over, the gig is up, and the American people are going to realize. Now, there are certain Democrats that they will never get a clue, and they're going to be radicalized. It doesn't matter. If you showed them this interview, I mean, I would love to show this interview to all my Democrat friends to say, look, you know, look what they're doing. They're lying. I don't believe a word I hear. They're all lying. Well, if you can't show somebody the facts, then there's nothing you can do for those people. They're gonna be their person. And the thing is about Republicans is we question our whole Republican Party. We've done it. That's why you had the Tea Party. You have grassroots. You have rhinos. You have all these different sections. It's because the Republicans always question where the Democrats just follow. I mean, you get one, like, now they've turned on Schumer. Do you think they're not going to get rid of him? Hell yeah, they're going to get rid of him. His days are numbered, and he knows they're numbered. Because when they see blood in the water, the Democrats are like sharks, and they come for it. When DOGE starts stepping on some serious things, and they're like, oh, they're going to take away your Social Security and blah, blah, blah. I'm not worried about it, and I'm just a couple years away from it. Not worried about it at all. They're going to make it more efficient, which ultimately will save money. So that was actually the main stuff that I wanted to talk about. I'm going to throw in this just for the last 5 minutes, is 7 years ago. I'm completely changing the story at this point now. So 7 years ago, I was informed of something that happened at the sheriff's office down here in El Paso County and with Colorado Springs Police Department. And it had to do with the federal government with this asset forfeiture money that was given to the local agencies. And I was actually called by some current officers and deputies with the sheriff's office saying, you need to look into this. And so I did a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act. I contacted the Department of Justice, sent them a FOIA request. In Colorado, it's called CORA, Colorado Open Records Act. And so I submitted this in February of 2017. Well, I was all set to come on here and talk about how I still haven't gotten anything. Well, guess what? I got my letter 7 years later on March 19th of 2025. I get a letter saying, hey, we fulfilled your FOIA request. And they sent me a whole bunch of documents that are redacted to hell. But okay, but they sent me the response, which kind of shows that the sheriff's office had to pay back $500,000. Well, they never announced this. They never said, oops, we made a mistake. We have to give back over $500,000 because of how these funds were used. And this is kind of the thing that Chuck and Julie were talking about, this asset forfeiture. They can take money from people even if they don't charge them. And it's really kind of crazy how they get the money, but this is how they're spending the money. And what happens is what it looks like. And I want to be kind of fair about this. I always wanted to be accurate and fair in everything that I say. It appears from what I'm reading. Remember, this is heavily redacted and I've still got a lot of documents to go through. It's like, I've got all this free time to do this. It appears that the government, the feds, caught them not tracking their expenditures and spending it on stuff that's not approved or whatever. And the feds reeled them in. They sent a letter saying, stop spending this money until we get this ironed out. And then they had this whole audit. They went and met with both Colorado Springs Police Department and with the El Paso County Sheriff's Office. And after a few months, I guess they got them all back in line and stuff. But at some point, I read a memo where El Paso County had to write a check for $600,000. Not quite sure what that's about, but it appears that that was to settle that, okay, we're not due this money. We got to give it back or whatever. But I thought that the main point in this is 7 years. Now, also, don't you find it ironic that for 7 years, the DOJ wouldn't do squat for me? I got my letter. See, it says Department of Justice here. And is it made out to me? It is. I don't want everyone to know. Actually, it's made out to my company, not to me. You know what? I didn't want to use my home address. I was afraid the feds would show up, but they can figure out where I'm at. Everyone can figure out where I live. But I think I used my company address for this. But isn't it interesting that right after Donald Trump comes back into office, that the DOJ has now got off their ass and took care of this? They told me like 5 years ago, we have the information, we just need to redact it. So they already had it like 5 years ago or maybe 6 years ago, but they didn't redact it, didn't do anything. And every time I'd send them an email, a letter, email, whatever, about every 3 to 4 months saying, hey, what's the status? And I get the same person saying it, you know, same status. We need to put someone on. Then one time I got one, oh, the person who was scheduled to review retired. So now we got to start over and give it to, I mean, just a bunch of BS. But as soon as Trump gets in power, within a couple months, I get my letter with all my stacks of documents that I get. Maybe I should have asked for the JFK assassination. Who knows what I would have gotten? But I just thought that was interesting. Kind of on a side note, and to finish this up, I know I've still got a few more minutes to change the subject, unless anybody wants to talk about FOIA requests or asset forfeitures. That's kind of something that Chuck and Julie are interested in. I think you need to be very careful as a government when you just start taking people's property or their money. You better be real careful and make sure you have a huge amount of due process. If you can show clearly that that money or asset was obtained through illegal gains of like drugs or whatever, fraud or whatever, then yeah, by all means, take it. But you better be careful before you start just taking without a criminal prosecution. Someone needs to get convicted. I mean, if you don't have anyone getting convicted of a crime, how can you take their assets and their money? And as far as I'm concerned, if they're found not guilty, you need to give them all their money back. You know, they were found not guilty. I don't care if it's like, well, you know, we know they're guilty. They just got it. Doesn't matter. If you're found not guilty, I personally believe, because of what's happened to my friend and to others that have been overcharged and all kinds of stuff, if you're found not guilty in a criminal proceeding, I think the government should pay for your attorney fees if they're not already. Now, if you have a public defender or whatever, then obviously, but if you went out and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on a private attorney to make sure you got one that was going to help you to get the best outcome possible, and you get a jury that says not guilty, I think the government needs to pay your attorney fees. And then when I say that, if you paid them, then you get the money. If you spent $300,000 or $400,000 defending yourself and it comes back not guilty, all the government is like, and I'll tell you, a lot of law enforcement and prosecutors, they'll be like, I don't care that he got a not guilty. We ruined his life. So we made our point. That's BS. They need to be held accountable for whenever they ought, when it's a judge should say, this is an obvious case that had no business being in my courtroom. I want your DA's office to pay for their attorneys. We need to have that in America. Last thing before we go, I want to talk about Elise Stefanik. She is one of my heroes. I have always been impressed by her, just like with Jim Jordan and some others, and I can't list them all. I was not impressed by my local congressman who I thought just took the money. But we've had some good reps, and Elise Stefanik, I think, is an amazing person, and I hope she becomes the Speaker of the House at some point, and maybe even higher office than in Congress. Well, they announced today that she's not going to be the UN ambassador that they took back her nomination. And we all know why. It's because they need her in Congress. And I think she's a great leader in Congress. And I think that that is the right place for her. So I would tell you today, when I heard that news, it was good news for me because I like to see her in Congress and I'd like to see her be more vocal. And she announced today the reason she's not been vocal is because she was being nominated for the UN ambassador, and she didn't want to have give them a bunch of ammunition to come after them. So she basically went dark until she got done with the nomination process. Well, now she's not going through that. So I hope to hear Miss Stefanik, Congresswoman Stefanik, come out and get back in the game, so to speak, because she's always impressed me. And I'm actually kind of excited that she's not going to be the UN secretary because I thought it was a big waste position for her anyway. I think she has higher places to go. But so I've sat here and I've talked for an hour. My wife has told me for forever, you can talk forever about nothing. So it appears that I've done this for the last hour. Had a great conversation. I think it was Johnny. Thanks for jumping on. Hopefully everyone has enjoyed this. I'd love to know if you agree or disagree with me. I'm just an average conservative Republican, and this is how I think as a person of what I see. And I like what I see so far. I definitely find it entertaining. Hopefully, Chuck and Julie will be back on Monday, and they will get you back into the updates of what all happened over the weekend. And I hope everybody has a great weekend and enjoy yourself. And we'll see you later here on the Chuck and Julie Show.